from Everbank Field in Jacksonville. This is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we welcome you inside Everbank Field in the Jaguars Radio Network studios. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier. This is Jaguars.com Live on Jaguars.com. Shocking that it's on Jaguars.com. John, this
and
is
live.
It's live, and we're here together. This is an interesting concept, huh?
Well, we've got Gus, and we've got Mike Ryan coming in, but spending time with you, JP, is what I'm looking forward to.
I always enjoy it. With the senior writer for Jaguars, don't watch the coat. Watch the coat. Here's the concept. It's a live interactive show right here on the website where you, the fans, can interact with us live through Twitter, at Jaguars, at JP Shadrick, at John Osier. Also through the Facebook page, the Jaguars Facebook page, and a live chat down at the bottom of your screen right now. The phone lines will be open a little bit later. 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. We'll take calls a little later in the show today. Let's look at what's happening. This is something that's kind of, we do inside the Jaguars occasionally during the offseason. During the season, it's three times a week. But this is almost like a live interactive version of that, right?
And the guy who just walked in, we'll talk to him in a minute, is all about getting better. For us, this is a way to get better. It's a way to, you know, start interacting with the fans a little more. We do it a lot. And I think we're always looking for ways on the site to make people feel like more part of the team and to make people feel like they're inside the building. This is certainly a good opportunity to do that.
Before we get to our first guest, let's talk about what's going on with the Jags this week. Of course, in the league, it's the aftermath of Super Bowl 48. The Seahawks are the champions in the National Football League this year. We'll get to that. Big week in New York City prior to the Super Bowl for the Jaguars brass. Shad Khan, Mark Lamping. I had a sales presentation to current and potential sponsors with some interesting drawings in there. We'll get to that. And also, preparation for the NFL Scouting Combine has started. That's a couple of weeks away in Indianapolis. And a guy who's a major part of that is our first guest on Jaguars.com Live. You know him. You love him. Gus Bradley, how are you?
I'm doing great. First show, huh?
This is it. We go for the top to get the first guest on.
Oh, I know about that.
Thanks for being here. We appreciate it a lot.
It's great. It's great.
Let's start off with your former employer, the Seattle Seahawks, of course, the world champions. This defensive unit, boy, they shut down Peyton Manning and had a huge game.
Yeah, they really played well. I mean, Dave and I had a chance to go up to the Super Bowl and spend some time up there, and you know, and then a chance to watch it on TV. They played at a high level, and I kind of had a feeling, just having gone against Denver and going against Seattle, that there's an opportunity for them to play really well against this team, and then to see it all come true. You know, it's a great experience for those guys.
Were there moments, Gus, that you had seen flashes of that? I remember the San Francisco game last year, one of your last games there, where you just sort of took control of the game. Had you seen moments where this sort of performance started to come together?
Yeah, you know what? Last year when I was there, about midway through the season, I felt like the team started to own it. And, especially on the defensive side, they took really great pride in it. And it really, I think the Atlanta game really left an emptiness in a lot of people in that building. And I think the players really felt that and said, you know what? We get that opportunity again, we're going to take advantage of it. And they did.
And we had talked last week a little bit. You feel like you've seen the very beginning. You talk about owning it a lot. You've seen the very beginnings of that maybe start a little bit here.
Yeah, you know what? I saw it really after the bye week. You know, we came in and we struggled early. And I think that, we got together as a staff with the team and said, all right, here's what we need to do. Let's make big strides now. And I think you guys have had a chance to have some time off and get your thoughts back together on really what we're asking you to do. And I think they had a clearer mindset, and they started to, we had some success come their way. And with that builds confidence, and then that ownership takes place. We're not there yet, but it was heading in the right direction.
Gus Bradley is with us. This is Jaguars.com Live from Everbank Field. First ever show. We go straight for the top with the head coach. Got a couple of positions open on your staff. Athletic trainer, linebacker coach. We're going to have Mike Ryan on here a little bit later, the outgoing athletic trainer. But what's the process of that? How's it going? And how do you replace an athletic trainer?
Boy, it is tough. You know what? That's you know, we've got a lot of things going around in our building right now. We got players. I mean, it's great atmosphere, great excitement. The players are in the building. We've got you know, I've been in meetings with our scouting department with Kyle and Dave and the whole staff, and talking about combine and free agency, and offense and defense are meeting. And then on top of it, we've got people in our building interviewing for jobs. So, you know, the process, you know, we're really trying to capture, and we talk about the team getting better, and we're trying as a coaching staff and his organization really get better in the hires we make. And we've lost some very good people, some guys that had tremendous impact on our organization. Now the challenge is to replace them, and it's a process. But hopefully by the end of next week, it all comes together, and we're back to everybody working on the same page.
And especially with the athletic trainer going into the combine in Indy, that position's very important.
It is. You know, we need to get somebody in place rather quickly. We've had some interviews take place, and, you know, we'll see how it comes together. But I think, you know, as we get to a close on the guys that we're interviewing, Dave and I will sit down and we'll make a decision.
Where do you lean on that position the most? I mean, I think people know what it is, a physical therapist, but there's some interaction there, and you must lean on him for information during the season a lot.
We meet every day. I think that's what makes us unique. Dave and I meet with the trainer and our strength coach, Milo, and then you know, the first thing in the morning with our staff, the trainer comes in there. Mike was in there every morning, and we reviewed the injuries and the practice reps, and it's so important. You know, obviously our IR list went down quite a bit from years past, so we're making progress in that area. And so, yeah, very important to meet with the trainer and have that open communication.
Gus Bradley is with us on Jaguars.com live here on Jaguars.com. Of course, combine prep for you is certainly a big deal for the scouting staff. They're all in. We've seen them in the building this week getting their preparations for Indy. But on your side of it, how do you see the combine in Indy? What do you go look for?
Well, it's challenging. And, you know, it's another part of the evaluation process. We can get caught up in it. You know, a guy goes there and runs a high 40 time and does his agility drills and, you know, all the things you're asking. And I think it's a piece of the puzzle, but we have to be careful not to base our decision off the combine, because you can make mistakes doing that. You still have to rely on what you see on tape, what you see them perform, the skills they have. But I do think that, you know, it's a competitive field and it's a competitive nature at the combine. And to see guys in that environment and watch them compete, that is an important part.
One thing I'm curious about, Gus, you coached the Senior Bowl, which was different than last year. But now you're getting into that situation where maybe there's some, I guess you've seen this part of your schedule before here. You know, right into February, going to the combine. How is this year different? Do you feel... I know you don't like to get settled in, but do you feel this is different? Do you feel...
Well, I think it's the same process. Last year, everything was just, you know, had a faster pace to it because of the hiring of the staff and everybody learning each other's personalities. Now, I think we're doing some of the same things, but we're starting earlier. And, you know, it gives us a chance to look at the free agency guys even in more depth. We look at the combine guys even in more depth. We look at our self-scout. And, you know, now our cut-ups and our clips come from this past season, not necessarily from other places that we've been. So, you know, all those things come together. I think it's, you know, the familiarity. But we're challenging now. On defense, we're going to change some things up. Offensively, we're going to change some things up. And I think we have a better feel for the strengths of our players that are currently here, and now the challenge is how do we utilize those strengths.
Gus Bradley is with us on Jaguars.com Live. This is an interactive show, Gus, so we have some questions from Twitter. First of all, you're not on Twitter at all, are you?
No, I'm not. Ryan Robinson wants me to, but...
you can do whatever you want. You can do it. Go for it.
I'm not sure that's my strength right there.
Well, usually what he wants, he gets, though, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
We got some questions, though. The first one from Chad Kuhn, and we mentioned a little bit about this earlier, but if you want to follow up on it, with Seattle's success, do you think more teams will adopt the philosophy that you started, and are the Jags ahead of the curve in that regard, or do you buy into that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think every team is going to do what they feel their strength is, and it's hard to change your personality. You know, a head coach sees something that works and changes his personality. There's an old saying that there's death by inches, And that means that if you move away from who you really are slowly and make gradual steps, that you can, you know, you can get in a lot of trouble. So I think the challenge is to stay true to yourself. Fortunately, that, you know, our philosophy is our philosophy. There's some things we're very similar with Seattle, and there's some things that we're different. And I think the challenge is to stay true to ourselves. But anytime someone has success, people are going to study it and see, you know, within their philosophy, can they make some subtle changes and stay true to themselves?
Another Twitter question from @Mate_Gold. Have you spoken to Derrick Brooks since he was elected to the Hall of Fame?
Yes, I have. I just talked to him yesterday. I talked to him up in New York. He texted me the day of and after the decision was made. So, yeah, we've been in a lot of communication. I'm just so excited for him. I mean, the first ballot Hall of Famer, tremendous, tremendous honor. And I know, you know, he has a lot of humility and understands what this means. And I'm just so happy for him.
You going to try to go to Canton?
Yeah, you know, who knows? We might be playing in the game, you know?
Wait, was there breaking news here?
Yeah, no breaking news, but, he's a special person, and, you know, whether I'm there, hopefully I have the opportunity. If not, I'll be there in spirit.
Another Twitter question from @IronMan136. With Mojo's free agency upcoming, what are the plans for Denard Robinson? Are we looking at developing a Chris Johnson type of halfback?
Right.
What does that mean to you?
Well, you know what? I think they see him as more of a slasher, a guy that can accelerate in the hole. Denard is really intriguing. I love the person and love what he's all about, his competitive spirit. And I've said this, I think, before, that he's a guy that came and asked me three-quarters of the way through the season, you know, what's the next step for me? What do I need to do to improve? He obviously wants to find more playing time. And, you know, so he has some areas to work on. But, you know, so competitive. I think, you know, it's going to be exciting to see him in OTAs, you know, when that first year is under his belt, because guys can make some strides in their second year.
It's really struck you about Denard that he did that, came to you. Does not every player do that, or does that...
No, they do, but at that time.
Right.
You know, that's something generally, you know, we do what we call get better tapes. You know, we show 20 plays of a player's strengths and 10 plays or 15 plays of their weaknesses. And you go through that, you sit down with the players in the off season when you, you know, when it's legal. And, you know, it's one of the first things you go through. So for a player to say, you know, how do I get better three-quarters of the way through the season, they have that mindset. But, you know, it was really in his heart and on his mind. He wanted to really try to get better during the season and get that opportunity. When he did get that opportunity, take advantage of it.
We would struggle with those tapes.
A couple more questions offline here. This is from Union Jacks, the fan club in the United Kingdom. Having been to London now, do you get a sense for how strong the appetite is over there in the UK for NFL games in person? Is it really a strong thing?
Oh, it is. I mean, that environment was incredible. I know our players, you know, you really don't know. There's some unknowns. You're going over there for the first time. You don't know what the atmosphere is going to be like, you know, how receptive they are to you. But, you know, it was at a high level in all those categories. And that game day atmosphere was incredible. Number of people there and the cheering, and they're into football. You can definitely tell they have a passion for it, and I think it's only going to grow more.
Finally, off Facebook now, Brian McDonald asking you, looking back on the season that just passed last year, what would you do differently? If you had to pick one thing, what would you do?
Wow, we talk about those things. You know, we pick out points offensively, defensively. You know, we talk about the things we're glad that we did. And I think that, you know, where we need to improve is, you know, certain categories, obviously third down, red zone, things like that. But overall as a team, I think we're constantly looking to improve the health of our team. It's so important to stay healthy, especially at the end of the season. And I think that's an area that we need to look at is, you know, what can we do to keep our healthy, or keep our guys healthy and playing at a high, fast rate.
You had talked so much last offseason about wanting to use this season to get to know your roster, and that you and Dave felt like you'd feel better this offseason once you sort of knew what you had. Mission accomplished on that front?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we made 235 or so roster changes. And, you know, it won't be like that this year, but we'll still have some roster changes. So that's the challenge every year, is to learn your roster until you get to a position to where, you know, now you're only adding one or two guys. But, you know, that'll be a challenge again this year. Fortunately, we feel good about a lot of our core guys and a lot of the guys that we elevated our bottom part of our roster. So, you know, we know those guys. We know their strengths. We're going to add draft picks. We're going to add some free free agency, and you know, we'll go through the process again.
Is Michaela used to having you back home yet, Gus?
No.
Season? No?
No, I'm not sure she is. I don't, you know, last night I walked in about 9 p.m., so it feels like the regular season, I think, to her. But, you know, we get our opportunities. We take advantage of our time on the weekends. And, you know, she came up with on the Super Bowl trip. So we got some time to spend up there as well.
And you're seeing, I want to understand, you're seeing the kids play sports now and do some other fatherly things,
yeah,
right?
I'm starting to become a dad again. Yeah, it's always cool to see the young, you know, our young kids play, you know, that fourth grade basketball, that sixth grade basketball, and kindergarten and eighth grade. And, you know, what I love about is the spirit at that age and how the maturity and how they come along in their game from the first game to the last, and just the excitement over just making a basket. And, you know, I always think, you know, we got to keep capturing that, even at our level, you know, that excitement that, you know, we talk about celebrating the victories, and the children are no different.
Could we see Gus Bradley on a basketball court someday?
I'm on a team now. The staff put me on a team.
Really?
Yeah, they play every Monday night. They didn't do very well the other night. They ran into a buzzsaw and got beat by, I think, about 60. But, you know, I don't think they need me out there. The only thing I can do is, or try to do, is shoot some threes. But, you know, it's I know it's great, you know, to see our staff go out there. I mean, here they were watching tape. I think they played at 8:45 at night on Monday night. They left the building and went over there and relieved some stress, I think. But they might have added some stress to their lives after that buzzsaw.
Last thing, you see these trophies up here by the TV. Those are softball trophies. How's your softball game? Guess we could use another big vet.
No, I think. You guys, those trophies right there, it looks like you got the right team. So, no, that's great, though. I play a little slow-pitch softball. But, you know, it is. It's great, isn't it? You know, any chance you got to compete, and I love that our staff is over there, you know, playing basketball. And you know, so much of it is you can get out of condition, out of shape during the season, you know, the time frame and things. Yeah, we're all in that
trying to say.
And you know, now in the off season, where guys are riding the elliptical and working out, and you know, it's so important, our health. And you know, I think it you know, we operate on so much enthusiasm, so much intensity, that you got to be at your highest fitness level, and that's what we're doing now.
We'll send you an invite soon, Gus. Watch your
I'm
email.
Not sure slow pitch softball, you know, the conditioning levels challenge that much, but it's good.
Hey, Gus, thanks a lot for coming
thank
on
you guys.
Today. Jaguars.com live continues. Of course, Gus will be part of the fan forum tomorrow night here at Everbank Field. Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell, and President Mark Lamping of the Jaguars, all involved tomorrow. It's totally booked. You can watch live right here on Jaguars.com exclusively. If you have an RSVP, the doors open at 5. The show starts at 6 o'clock. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier, Jaguars.com live. Mike Ryan coming up a little bit later. It actually might come up in just a moment. The outgoing athlete. How cool was that?
What a bland guy. You know,
he's so bright.
I just wish he would just sort of liven up a little bit and maybe look on the bright side of life once in a while. I mean, it gets old.
It really does. You know, this is going to be a long off season with that guy right
really
here, I'll tell you. This is a live show, of course. Phone lines are open, 1-800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. We're taking Twitter questions, Facebook questions as well. Let's go ahead and get into our athletic trainer, departing the Jaguars. Mike Ryan joins us now. You know, you talked to John. First off, welcome. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Why did it take so long?
I know. The last week we finally got you on. First show. This is you talked to John on the website. The story's up right now on Jaguars.com if you want to check it out. But what are your feelings this week? I mean, this is the last chance you're going to be in the building.
Exactly. Well, it's a mixed emotions, of course, but I'm excited what the future's going to bring. And what's really been driving this decision is really being able to spend some time with my family. And I'm very excited about that.
We talked yesterday about, you know, the guys who've been here forever. Six or seven left now, but you're sort of in the walls of this place. You've driven up to this place for 21 years, almost half your life. It's got to be a weird feeling not to be doing that starting next week.
Sure, it will be, but the memories here are so positive. I really love my time here, and to leave on such good terms and to be a Jaguar fan, and my wife and two kids and I plan to stay here in Jacksonville and make this our home. It's mixed emotions, of course, but to still be part of this community and I'd like to think part of this team as well is very rewarding.
Got a question off Facebook, Johnny. Sorry to interrupt you there.
You're fine, JP.
Steve Oxley has two questions. Two-part question for you.
Two-parter.
What's next for you, first off? And second, how are the Jags going to replace you? I mean, you're a legend, right?
Well, I'll start the second part. I'm not sure about the legend. That's for someone else to say. But they do fine. We got a great medical staff here with my assistants, Justin Bland and Rod Scott, and all our doctors, Dr. Kaplan, our team physician, and so many people that make this up. This isn't all about me. This is a great medical staff. Works very, very hard and focus on getting players healthy and keeping them on the field. And I'm very proud to be part of that. But they're going to do just fine. The second part, what am I going to do? Do I have it exactly spelled out? No, but I know it's going to be focused on sports medicine, some rehab, private rehab, helping people stay healthy. I have a personal mission statement of to enhance the health of others. And everything I do will be focused on that. And I think taking what I do here every day to help athletes stay healthy and injury-free and to apply that on a bigger scale to people that are non-professional athletes is going to be a big focus of that.
Your personal mission statement is to lose 5 pounds, right?
Hey, you know, 5 or 10.
And then we're
going to lose 5 or 10. I dropped 2 in the last couple of days, for the record.
You're well on your way.
There we go. Well
Mike, you shared a story with me yesterday that people haven't seen it. It's on the website, but it's always fun to talk about memories of Tom. Tom Coughlin. And he's such a dynamic character and such a, well-known character.
Sure.
The sunglasses story. I think people want to hear that from your voice.
Great. Well, it's not something I like to focus on too much because he did so much good, but this is obviously a humorous issue, mm-hmm. and the sunglass issue is always a hot topic around here. And I have to say, I really enjoyed our time yesterday, John, of talking and reflecting on things. It was a lot of fun. But our first practice we had was in, I'm guessing, April of 95.
Correct.
And we went over to Bishop Kenny, and the media was there. We brought the buses over, and Dan Edwards let us off the buses. It was great. Well, everybody's stretching. We're right at the beginning of practice, and Tom McManus is laying on the ground. I walked over to him, and he said, "Hey, you can't wear glasses." I said, "What?" He said, "You can't wear sunglasses." I said, "That's crazy." He goes, No. No coaches can't wear sunglasses." I said, "Well, I'm not a coach." And I turned around and literally almost ran nose to nose into Tom Coughlin, and he said, in a censored version because we're on the radio, "Get rid of those glasses." And I said, "Are you serious?" And I started looking around, and a lot of the coaches that work with him at Boston College, nobody had sunglasses. And now I started June of 94, so I'd been with him for 7 or 8 months. And the sunglass topic, we talked a lot. And the sunglass issue never came up. And we had a lot of conversations. And what it took was about 5 or 6 years of lobbying, talking to our eye doctors, and this and that, all the dangers were there. Because Tom liked people to look people in the eye, which I agree with as well. But we couldn't wear sunglasses. And I literally went out for a couple of summers and wore contact lenses that were clear but had ultraviolet protection for training camp just to protect. But I respect my corneas, and I kind of want to have them when I get old. And it took 5 or 6 years, but eventually we were given the green light to wear sunglasses. And basically the theory was we didn't care what they look like. Bottom line is we just want to be able to protect our eyes with the glasses. And once we get over that, we had a lot of happy staff around here that would pat me on the back and say, finally.
What are you going to remember the most? I mean, you missed the most, I guess, is a better question.
The people. I think the people have been here, and a lot of interesting people have come through here, and I've been really blessed to be able to relate to people in a lot of different ways because my responsibility is to help players stay healthy. So my interaction with players and staff and family members is different than most, but the people. I mean, there's some beautiful people around here and very caring people, and you're in this very testosterone, high-energy, high-octane environment. And the rush is very palpable on most days in here, but it still comes down to dealing with people and helping people stay healthy. And when you get some of the toughest guys going that I've ever worked with that really appreciate you and express that of, hey, thanks for helping me do fill in the blank, and really appreciative of that, it really makes my job worthwhile.
Mike, good luck to you. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thank
it, guys.
Mike.
Good luck to you as well.
Mike Ryan joining us on Jaguars.com Live. The debut episode here on the website. Let's talk season tickets. It's that time of year. The ticket office accepting deposits for the 2014 season right now. Call 633-2000 and speak with a representative or visit jaguars.com/tickets for more information. Take advantage of this great home schedule. Look at this. Indy, Tennessee, Houston, of course, all here in the division. Miami's here for the first time since 09 in the regular season. Cleveland is here. Pittsburgh is here for the first time since 08. The New York Giants will be in for the first time since 06 in the regular year. And, of course, that Dallas game on your screen is at Wembley Stadium in London. The other seven are here. The preseason games will be announced at a later date. So call now and get those in. Also, a reminder, the current season ticket holders, John, brochures and invoices will be emailed only this year. So if you're looking for the postman to bring it your way, you better stop looking because he's not going to bring it. So watch your email in mid-February if you're a current season ticket holder for the new brochure and invoices coming your way. We're live on Jaguars.com live. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351, at Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier.
And what a great couple of guests. I mean,
that was cool.
Mike Ryan, I remember covering Mike Ryan, 95, 96. I didn't get to know Mike Ryan that well, because, you know, of course, Tom Coughlin, he didn't talk to anybody, much less the athletic trainer. But he's been around a long time. And is very well respected in his community. I know he'll do well.
There is a marathon or a triathlon in his future, I'm sure, a few of them.
Oh, well, mine so, too, of course.
I know, yeah. Are you talking about like surf and turf and like another kind of meet or something?
Marathon gas stage, you know that.
So. Great. Let's, you know, biggest news in the NFL this week, of course, is the aftermath of Super Bowl 48. Mm-hmm. Seahawks are champions. They dominated the game. Gus talked a little bit about that approach going in. But Peyton Manning, you know, his legacy's on the line, everybody right. says. You covered Peyton for a long time in Indianapolis. Were you surprised at how much they dominated the game over him?
I was very surprised at how much they dominated. I was not surprised that the Seahawks won. I had written in the Ozone several times that I thought it was going to be tough for Denver because I thought Seattle could get pressure with four. And I thought even if they didn't get pressure with four, they were going to continue to try to get pressure with four, which meant you had seven in the back seven. And those guys run so well and they hit so big. You know, so much of what Denver did this year, if you watch them, it was touch passes. It was stuff right on the money that he was playing on a margin. Well, all of a sudden, Seattle's a little better than the rest of the defenses they're playing. That margin gets closed a little bit. It was going to be a real tough matchup. And the worst possible scenario happened, which was they got behind early, which is really tough to come back on that sort of a defense if you get behind early. So shocked at the final score, not shocked at the fact that the Seahawks won.
Is he going to play again?
Well, there's no question he'll play as long as he's healthy. I've said all along with Peyton, he's the kind of guy he would play till he's 46 or 47 if he could, and it's got nothing to do with records. It's got nothing to do with you're trying to pile up stats. This is a guy who loves being around the sport. He loves being in the weight room with the guys, the equipment guys. He loves the things about being a football player that maybe you don't see all the time. And he obviously loves playing. So he'll play as long as he can. I have no idea what the doctors are telling him on his neck. Nobody does except those doctors. But he'll play. I don't really buy that much into, oh, this loss will drive him. He's driven by things much bigger than one loss. It'll all come down to what the doctors tell them, I'm sure.
Of course, on the other side, the Seattle Seahawks are celebrating today. The parade in downtown Seattle happening today. You know, but we're a tip pass away from this being a whole different narrative. If they lose that NFC Championship game, what if St. Ann's, whatever, you know, it's they won, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
But if Richard Sherman doesn't tip the pass, then everybody's all about, oh, the 49ers right. way and how they built things and their head coach, Harbaugh, and this and that, not Carroll and the
sure.
the whole building from within, the whole deal.
It's always fun to see how the narrative changes, and it changed this year on the Richard Sherman play. I assume the 49ers would have probably beaten the Broncos. So if they win that game, then we're all talking about Jim Harbaugh, and we're talking about the fact that he's made three straight conference championship games, two Super Bowls, and he's won one. Is this the model that you have to follow? And we've seen it all along. If Peyton wins that Super Bowl in 2009, then we're talking about him as a two-time, and he's a great player. That was a couple of plays away. It's always, for most seasons, there's always a couple of plays that can change the whole narrative. But that's how legacies get changed. That's the reality of this sport, is you take moments like that, and things turn on one or two plays, and it's often razor thin. That's why winning the Super Bowl is so special to these guys, because they know how hard it is, and they know that it cannot happen for a lot of guys.
J.P. Shadrick with John Osier, Jaguars.com live. Of course, the week leading up to the Super Bowl is huge for every team in the league. Most everybody has representatives there, meetings. Well, the Jaguars brass was no different. Owner Shad Khan, President Mark Lamping were in New York this week, had a sales meeting with current and potential sponsors that included some interesting renderings. We'll take a look at these, but let's caution everybody. They are endless possibility photos. That does not mean anything's going to go on here. There's nothing in the works. it's a drawing for drawing's sake.
It's a very pretty picture, it's very tough to get that pretty picture into reality. We're so far away from this, but you know, Shad Khan and Mark Lamping are visionaries. They see and they know that you want ideas like this out there because it starts people talking. It starts people talking about the possibilities that can go around it. So very neat pictures, and it'll be a neat story to follow as we go forward.
Brent Martineau and Ryan O'Halloran had the initial drawings after that meeting in New York. But like we said, be careful with that because that's not it's not even in the realm of possibility right now.
But it shows you the bigness of how Shad and Mark think. And I think that's – you want to get that thought out there, and you want to get people talking about possibility.
NFL Combine, the scouting combine coming up in a couple of weeks in Indianapolis. We'll be there, John.
I can't wait.
I know you love Indy.
Well, it's a good event because you are up there and you're around everybody in the league and you get a chance to get a good vibe. You know, I don't study the draft a whole lot before the Senior Bowl. I didn't go to the Senior Bowl this year. But those couple of events really give you a chance to get around the league, and it sort of gets you a chance to get reset. You get familiar with the young guys. You start seeing the storylines a little better that will take you to the draft. So it's a neat thing to be around, and it's not yet the start of the league year. The league year starts March, but it's the time that everybody starts getting geared up for the next season.
Jaguars, of course, have the number 3 overall pick. We've heard all kind of names on Jaguars Twitter, and all these mock drafts have about 7 different guys being drafted 3rd overall. This is kind of when you narrow it down a little more. And as you heard Gus say, you can't oversell it. It's one event.
It's one event, and everything in the draft is a part of the big picture if you're approaching it the right way. Everybody wants to mock quarterbacks of this team, Manziel, Bortles, Bridgewater, or Kline. Those are the 4 names you're hearing. But I think it's important to remember right now, they're still, although fans are locked in on certain names, and Dave Caldwell's not dim. He knows those guys are out there. But it's a process right now, and it's a long process that I'm not even sure that the people down the hall are enough into the process to say, yes, there are odds of taking this guy. There are odds on taking this guy. This is a process that'll play out. And as we saw last year, once that process plays out, they're not going to hide for the sake of hiding. You'll have a good idea going into the draft of sort of what they like and what they're thinking. They're pretty transparent. We're just not there yet.
Free agency is right after the combine,
yes, it is.
Of course, and that opens up another area of possibility. Let's start off with names that a lot of fans are curious about coming back, and starting with Maurice Jones-Drew. Mm-hmm. Of course, the running back's been here for a long time, Pro Bowl running back, getting a little long in the tooth.
Sure.
Chad Henne's been a name that both Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley said, hey, they want him back in the building as a veteran guy. It's just a matter of working it out. What's the prospects of having both those guys?
I think Chad's a little more of the immediate focus because you'd like to figure out if you can get something done with him before free agency starts. And the idea of bringing Chad back is to give you options and flexibility. If you have Chad back in the lineup, then when you go to the draft, if things break where the number 3 guy isn't quite the guy you love and you think you can get somebody in the 2nd round, well, then you've got an option in your locker room that you feel okay going in with. Chad won 4 games. They think if they can get some other guys around him, they can function in there. If you don't have Chad back, all of a sudden you're looking at the rookie and thinking, okay, I have to do this. I have to have this guy. You don't want to play have to with the rookie quarterback. You'd rather have a situation where he can come along at his own pace, where you have some options. So they'd love to get that done, but my guess is he's going to be, and he probably knows this, quarterbacks are usually sought after. So he's going to have options as well. It's going to be a two-way street there. Maurice, I think there's a chance he comes back because I don't know that the market is going to be huge for running backs this year. I don't know if it's going to be huge for running backs for a while because you've seen that position devalue.
Yeah, don't tell Mojo that.
Don't tell Mojo that, but he's also smart enough where he knows that's the reality. So they're giving him a chance to test free agency. I think from talking to Mojo this season, the things that he said about this franchise and the things that he said about Gus Bradley are real. He likes this bunch. He likes what's going on. He'd like to be a part of it. He's also not going to be dumb and sign here for $2 million less than he's making somewhere else. So that's going to play out. But I think the people who poo-poo that as an option and say no way he's back, I think there's a better chance than people think.
Is that a technical term?
Poo-poo?
Yeah.
I use poo-poo all the time.
Easy enough. You know, the last year's free agency was a very successful run for this Jaguar team. You don't know until after the season, but especially on the defensive side, a guy like Cinderic Marks who came in and was a force in the middle. He signed a long-term deal now. Roy Miller played through his shoulder but played well this year. Alan Ball was banged up a bit but still played well on the outside. Blackman, Will Blackman, great year at corner and nickel at times as well. This year, though, might be a little different feel. Mm-hmm. You know, that was second, third-tier free agency where they did a lot of their work last year. Could they move up to that first week or so?
They could. And, again, I think it's important to state that it's not a definite. It's not like they're going to go in and say, we have to spend money on players. I think they'll go in and saying, we'd like to spend some money on X, Y, and Z player. But if they get into that and they don't land those players, the worst thing you can do in free agency is to start off on a position with a list and say, okay, these are these five guys. If I don't get one, I'm going to get two. If I don't get three, I'm going to get four, and so on. Because there comes a point where you've got to be smart and say, hey, just because this guy's fourth on the list in March doesn't mean he's going to be any good come August. And you can't just fill your roster. You can't play depth chart football in March. You've got to make sure that the guy contributes. So I think they'll be smart. If it's there, I think they'll go for it. I also think they'll have plan Bs in a lot of cases.
I've got a question on Twitter.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. From King Dusty One. We know him pretty well. Can we get an update on stadium improvements? You know, we mentioned the endless possibility thing, but failed to mention, yes.
Yep.
The new scoreboard situation is underway. I can, you know, every day walking in, I hear jackhammers.
Right.
That's a good sign. But as far
those
as
aren't just in your head.
No, usually they are. But as far as we know, it's on schedule and on time to be ready by opening day, by the start of preseason. So
right, there's a little bit going. I mean, it obviously hasn't hit the full bore yet, but these things usually find a way to get done, and they will get done by the time the season starts. And it's going to be a neat thing to see.
I believe so. John, I think that's about it for the first show.
All right, ready?
Good to see you. Yeah. What do you think? This is pretty cool, isn't it?
Yes.
Good idea.
Yes, it's been a good idea. And, you know, obviously, Gus and Mike today.
Oh, yeah.
Very good guests. We appreciate him being on. Okay. So
we'll try it again next week.
I'll look forward to that.
Wednesday at noon. You can read John's writing, of course, right here on Jaguars.com. Senior VP of Communications for the Jags is Dan Edwards. Digital Media Manager Chris Burdett. Social Media Coordinator is Brandon Natus. Jaguars.com producer is Patrick Cavanaugh. Jaguars Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Our thanks to Gus Bradley and Mike Ryland for John Osher. And everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. Thank you for watching Jaguars.com live on Jaguars.com. Good afternoon.